Our sermon text this morning is from the Gospel, according to St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Mark 5, 21 to 43. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted that no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, Little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. We dwell in your secret place and abide in your shadow, O God Almighty. Deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Strengthen us that we would not fear the pestilence that walks in darkness. Keep the plagues from coming near our dwellings. Keep us in all your ways. And answer us when we call upon you. Be with us in the trouble. Because we have set our love for you, deliver us and honor us, your people. Satisfy us with long life and show us your salvation. O Lord, speak to us now in your word by your Spirit. Open our minds, give us understanding. Open our hearts and our souls and fill us with great love and joy for you, for your word, and serving your kingdom. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and our closest kinsmen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning, you may follow along and count how many times I say Jesus and how many times I say heal. Jesus and heal, and I'll give you a count at the end of the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue our series in Lent around topics related to death, and we look at them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look at these heavy topics with confidence because of Jesus. And this morning we consider God, as he's revealed himself in his word, as the healer of diseases. Now, in God's good providence, he afflicted my house with sickness during the week I was studying for and preparing this sermon. It was nice to have flesh and blood examples of God's truth and his power. Sermon applications before writing the sermon. But again, the words of Psalm 90 teach us faith in our Lord. O Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. So it's with that we approach the topic of sickness and God as healer. Last Lord's Day's sermon on fear and faith leads into this topic of sickness and healing, and the Lord's sovereignty over our illnesses. The Lord's sovereignty over our healing. With this month's stomach virus afflicting our church, with the COVID pandemic of the last year, we all have had opportunity to reflect on God's word for disease and to put faith into action. Now, from the very beginning and into today, God gives life to all men. We do not have life in ourselves. He sustains each one of us, Christians and non-Christians alike. While he created everything good, and man good in giving life, Adam's sin brought judgment, the judgment of death, to all men. Each one of us will die. The effects of sin and death are lived out with our bodies breaking down with age and our bodies breaking down with illness. Getting sick, feeling pain from illness, is from living as fallen men in a fallen world. Allergy and sinus headaches, food poisoning, terminal illnesses, and every malady in between reveal man's rebellion against God and God's judgment upon our sin. Now, that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that every illness we get is God's personal judgment on us for our individual sin. You got a stomach virus this week because you're living in unrepentant sin. That's not what it means. It means illness is God's judgment upon man for sin. You are human beings. You are fallen in sin. You receive God's judgment in the form of illnesses. Because we sinned and live in this corrupted world, we experience sin's effects in sickness and disease. The Lord also promised judgment upon his people for breaking covenant. And one aspect of his judgment would be his inflicting plagues upon his people. We can read about this in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Here are some verses that address God's judgment for covenant breaking with illness. Moses said to the people, "It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. This is the God we worship. This is His truth. This is the one who gives life. This is the one who heals. And He afflicts His people for disobedience and breaking covenant. Afflicting with disease was God's judgment upon His people in the old covenant for not keeping covenant. He taught His people that disobedience hurts. Sin hurts. Boys and girls, can they get an amen? Sin hurts. And disease reveals that to us. Sickness reveals that sin hurts us. It is bad for us. God, as the source or the giver of the disease, reveals to us the nature of sickness. Sickness, illness, virus, bacteria is not some free-floating force in the world that God has put into the world that functions independently from Him. It's from Him. You have a stomach virus this week? That's from God. You have cancer, heart disease, AIDS? That's from God. COVID? That's from God. Not every single person afflicted with disease is directly receiving personal judgment. Job's boils reveal this, right? Job was afflicted with boils. It was not a direct punishment on him. So not every personal sickness is God's personal judgment on us. It's God's judgment upon humanity general for the fall and for His people breaking covenant with Him. So yes, AIDS is judgment. COVID is judgment. Our diseases in this world are judgment by our God. Yahweh sent plagues upon Egypt that included boils and pestilence on the livestock. The angel of Yahweh threatened Israel with pestilence for David's census. That was one of David's choices, pestilence. But take faith, Christian. Because God gives diseases, He is also the healer of those diseases. This is the good news of healing. Or this is the good news of disease and illness. God is the healer. He is the healer of disease. In Genesis, Yahweh struck Abimelech and his house with plagues. Genesis 20. Abraham prayed on Abimelech's behalf, and the Lord healed Abimelech's house. The Lord sent the plagues. The Lord brought the healing. The Lord healed, King Hezekiah was sick. The prophet Isaiah told him he would die. What did Hezekiah do? He prayed to God, and the Lord healed him. But King Asa, he became diseased in his feet. The Lord did not heal King Asa. Why not? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, King Asa became diseased in his feet. His malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. The king sought help from the physicians, and he did not seek the Lord. He was not healed. To not inquire of God was faithless. 2 Kings 1, verse 6, King Ahaziah, Ahab's son, a message came to Ahaziah. A man came up to us to meet us and said to us, "Go return to King Ahaziah who sent you and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're sending to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you've gone up, but you shall surely die.'" King Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice and injured himself. Ahaziah, King Ahab's son, not falling far from the tree, not a faithful king, inquired of Baalzebub, the lord of the flies, is what his name means. So he inquired, but he didn't inquire of Yahweh, God of Israel. He inquired of a Philistine god. To not go to the Lord, the giver of life, for healing is faithless. Jesus was the healer in our sermon text this morning from Mark 5. We have Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and his 12-year-old daughter about to die. And Jairus went to Jesus for healing. "You can heal her and she'll be well." And then we have a woman with 12 years of blood who spent everything. She spent everything. She saw every doctor, every quack in Israel to heal this flow of blood. And not only did it not get better, it got worse. So to whom did she turn? She went to Jesus. Both this daughter and this woman represented sick Israel. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, represented Israel. Israel needed healing. They had healing standing in bodily form in front of them in Jesus Christ. Jairus and the woman were examples of faith. The woman was immediately healed upon touching Jesus' garment. Jesus went to Jairus' house after his daughter had died. And Jesus raised her. Now, Jesus performed other healing miracles during his earthly ministry. He restored life to limbs, as well as ears, eyes, and mouths. Jesus came first to his own in Israel that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus' healing of these people was literally saving them. That's the word. In our English Bibles, it says heal. It's literally he saved them. He saved this woman. He saved this little girl. And just like this little girl, his healing to her was resurrection. He restored her to new life. The healings in the gospel were unto new life. That's the point of them. He's giving people new life. Because all sickness that we experience is a sign of death, just as sin is connected to death. Sickness is part of death, which is part of God's curse on man. When you're sick, you lie in bed, you're weak, you shake. You're both cold and you're sweating. Your body is not right. You can't stop coughing and catch your breath. You ache. You feel intense pain. Pain to the point where you want to die just so the pain would go away. These are all signs that you are dying. These illnesses, these sicknesses are another reminder that you don't have life in yourself. You are dependent upon God. As strong and as young as you may be, as much energy as you may feel like you have, an illness will put you in your place. It teaches you, you are a dependent creature on Almighty God. You live by His grace. And because of sin in the world, our lives, as we are born sinners, our lives are headed toward death. In one way, each one of us is terminal. Our bodies are dying. We are dying. And in God's mercy, when we are healed, we experience a foretaste of resurrection, which is why we don't fear death. It's because we know God has promised us resurrection in His Son, Jesus Christ. So in God's kindness to us, when He heals us from stomach viruses, from COVID, from those sinus headaches, when we are restored, we get a taste of resurrection. Oh yeah, this is what it feels like to be well again. This is what it feels like to have energy. You can skip like the deer. When you go to bed sick and you wake up better, you feel like you have new life. And that's a gracious gift from God. Illness to Christians is a test of our faith. Christian, do you trust your Lord to heal you? Place your trust in Him. But illness to an unbeliever is evangelistic. Illness to an unbeliever is evangelistic. Unbeliever, you are dying. Are you right with God? Unbeliever, if you don't like the agony of this present illness for a couple days or for a couple weeks, can you imagine the eternal anger of dying and being in rebellion against God? That's why Jesus could say, it's not the healthy who need the physician, it's the sick. And we in our sin, we need Jesus as our physician. We need Him to heal us of our sickness. We need Him to heal us of our maladies. And we need to heal us from our sins. So with the issue of sickness and health, Christians, we must live by faith in the Word of God. So the same temptation faces us as last Lord's Day. The same temptation with deism. Again, deism is the idea that God created the world, He put a bunch of forces into the world, and He started it up and set it off, and He is separate from the world, not acting, just watching. That's what deism is, and it's false. We reject it. But the temptation is there with sickness and healing. With the advancements of modern medicine, we can disconnect illness from God, the God who gives it. We can say, it's just a virus or a bacteria. It just needs to run its course through you. Or, I just need to get the right medicine and I'll be well. Now, we've said that before. But if you detach that from God the healer, you are a functional deist. You think that this free force is just operating within you on its own schedule, and when it's done, it'll be gone. No, God has put that in you, and He's the one who will take it out of you. We are sick in God's world. the God who sustains each human being by his Holy Spirit. We are sick in God's world, he who numbers the hairs of our heads and the cells within our body. We need to have a proper perspective on this. We need to have a proper perspective on medicine. Medicine is not useless, nor is it to be rejected, but it is not our Savior. You do not go to Walgreens or CVS or an herbal doctor as a Savior. Medicine to us, our perspective on medicine can't be that medicine effectively sustains a world without the awareness of death and without the awareness of God. We can't view medicine that way. We can't support that view of the world, that there's no such thing as death and there's no such thing as God. The application and effectiveness of modern medicine is dependent upon God's gracious preserving and strengthening of us from the effects of his judgment for sin within his gracious sustaining of life. Everything is connected to him, for from him and through him and to him are all things. It works because God makes it work. Physicians cannot give true health. They can help. They can comfort. We need Christian doctors to help hold back the effects of the curse. But God is the healer. God gives health. Looking at medicine, we see in Scripture God uses created things to accomplish his means. The fruit from the tree of life. Who gives life? God gives life. But he said, eat the fruit from the tree to give life, to get life. Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out because God sustained them. Daniel and his friends put on weight. They got plump. They were healthy, eating only vegetables. How did that happen? God built them up and strengthened them. Jesus turned water into wine in an instant. Paul told Timothy, that stomach ailment you have, drink a little wine for that. If our good and gracious God reveals that this plant or that chemical is effective against a particular illness, we can use that with wisdom. But its effectiveness is not foolproof. Not everyone who takes a particular drug for a particular illness will recover. I mean, how many examples of that do we have? With cancer, for example. Some get better, some don't. They do the same treatment. That's God's providence. Some diseases result in death. Some diseases which can be healed will result in others' death. If there is healing, it is because God healed the one who was sick. So, Christian, church, with the judgment of diseases for sin, and pandemics as a call to repentance, we must lead in maintaining the right perspective on God, on his governance of all things, his hand over the illnesses, and ultimately, his healing. We must be out front on this. We must lead. Because if we don't believe what Scripture says about God and healing, the world's not going to believe it. Christians don't believe what God's word says about healing. Why should we? Why do I need to repent and find salvation in Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says so. When you Christians don't even believe what it says about disease and God's healing. So we have to be committed. Specifically, the answer to COVID, ultimately, isn't more drugs, more vaccines, or even masks. The ultimate answer to COVID is repentance. If this nation repents, if every nation repents, COVID will be gone. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, the Lord said about Israel, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That's the message we should be preaching to the world. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. You will be healed. Does that mean medicine doesn't work anymore? Of course not. Take medicine. But ultimately the answer is repentance. And the church must lead in repentance and faith in God. So what is a faithful response to illness, Christian? What does God teach us in His Word? Well, number one, we go to Him first. You're feeling sick, you start praying. That's your first response. He gives life. He sustains. Pray and ask for healing. And then, Church of Jesus Christ, what do you do next? If you are sick and you are not healed, immediately, as Mark likes to say, from being sick. You will hear it shortly from James 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Call your elders. Church, do you believe what the Word says about healing, about sickness? Do you believe this? If so, do it. Call the elders, pray, confess sin, anoint with oil. What's more effective, Christian, for your illness? The anointing of oil by elders ordained by God to minister to you? Or pills from a doctor who denies God? Or pills from a Christian doctor? What's more effective? Whom do you call first? Whom do you inform about your ailments? Just a close group of people around you, your closest friends and family? Or do you tell it to the church for prayer? I've had this nagging ailment. Will you please pray for me? Give it to the church. We must bear witness to Scripture. If your neighbor is sick and you have the opportunity to minister to your neighbor, go minister to them. If they're unbelievers, call them to faith and repentance. If they're willing, have the elders come over to your neighbor's house to minister to them. And after that, go to the doctor. Get your treatment. Get your prescription. But don't ignore God and what He's revealed to us of His will. And then as your neighbor continues with this sickness, as your brother or sister continues with illness, visit them and care for them. Matthew 25, the separating of the sheep and the goats, Jesus said to the sheep, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." The king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did to me." This is the Christian witness. By caring for sick people, by visiting sick people, you are caring for Jesus Christ. You are ministering Christ. So with these illnesses, brothers and sisters, with wisdom, we cannot live by fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. If the church doesn't care for the sick, who will? And as a local church family, we must live by faith in God's sovereignty over our illnesses. Not governed by fear, and loving our neighbor with responsible choices. If you're sick, don't go around hugging everybody. Don't lock yourselves up for a year, but don't flagrantly flaunt your liberty. And personally, as the Lord tests each one of us, because we all get sick, as He graciously reminds us of our own mortality, we must cling to His promises. These are promises we ought to say to ourselves as we're lying in bed shaking because we're cold or because our bodies hurt. As you're lying on the bathroom floor because you lack the strength to get up, confess these words. Psalm 41. "The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sickbed." Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all your diseases." 1 Corinthians 15. "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." We will one day trade in these breaking down bodies, corruptible bodies, for incorruptible bodies that don't get sick, that don't get weak. We won't be sick anymore. And finally, you can confess the words of Revelation 21. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, no more stomach pain, no more back pain, no more intense headache pain, no more joint pain, no more chronic pain every single day you wake up and you carry this affliction. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." No more pain, no more tears, brothers and sisters. Say those words to yourself as you struggle with illness. And remember that God afflicts the wicked as judgment to bring them to repentance. And he graciously afflicts us to strengthen our faith in him. To strengthen our faith in his promises. These passages of scripture, that we would trust in what he says. Because the disease that results in your death leads to your resurrection. The disease that leads to your dying is unto resurrection, God's fulfilling of his promises. So let us cling to that hope, which is only found in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who sees that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assail and hurt our soul. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.